from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
EW to his friends. Eric.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Bread. Doctor Who Rock. Doctor Who. I'm sorry. It's me and I'm all terribly excited. Me being Eric Wiltshire at the base of the lovely, snow-covered, glorious Tatry Mountains with the sky that's bright blue. It's nice and chilly, but it's nice and dry, and it's wonderful. Absolutely flipping wonderful. As I say, we're in the town of Poprad, hence the programme's called Postcard from Poprad. And before we forget, say hi to the guys at Talk Radio X and Replay and everywhere else. Breeze, wherever you happen to be on Windows 8, the lot. We'll get you anywhere. Over in the UK, it's none other than that old reprobate himself. The man, the man that looks like a relic from a country and western video from 1955. Lee Banks.
That's the best intro you've ever given me. Because I've reached the age now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else, where my ambition to be a rock star has now transmuted itself into being a country and western star. I have that look. I have that charm. I have that wit. I have that voice.
Can you, Lee, can you spin anti-clockwise?
To make me car and me dog and me grandmother come back?
Yes. battening down the hatches still, I presume, down south, up in the north of Darwin, it's the lovely Rachel Brunsdon.
Hello. Do you know what I've done? I've come outside because I wanted you to hear the crickets.
And I can
I
hear
was
them.
Hoping the cane toads. Can you hear them?
Yes.
No. Playing cricket at night's a really dangerous thing, you know.
Yeah, balls get everywhere.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, let's keep it
window or get them in the eye.
I was hoping it would be raining so you could hear the cane toads quacking. Sadly, it's not raining. We'll have to do that another day.
Oh, that's an exciting up-and-coming event, isn't it?
Oh.
Gosh. And before we forget, ladies and gentlemen, it is the we record this programme on the 8th of November. In 3 days' time, it will be the 11th. And I would cordially invite you to buy your poppy wherever you happen to be in the world. And never forget the 11th of the 11th of the 11th, because it's a critical day. And if it wasn't for people that lost their lives all those years ago, Lee, Rach and I wouldn't be sitting there trying to entertain you, or not as the case may be, because we would have had a very, very different world. So we thank those guys who gave so much for us years and decades and... millenniums onwards. Thank you, guys. You are wonderful people. So please support the appeals that are around the world, the Poppy Appeals, who look after other soldiers that have been injured, up to very recently as well. So please give, and please give as much as you can. We have a special this week. Doctor
it's fandemonium.
It is fandemonium. I'm like a cart child in a candy shop.
I hate Doctor Who.
Oh, you killjoy.
Yeah,
I'm not a killjoy. I think I liked Doctor Who when I was about five, and but now as I've reached the venerable age of 37, I've grown out of it.
Yeah. All hate mail goes to Lee G. Banks somewhere in the north of England.
Who is Doctor Who anyway?
Who?
He doesn't know. Who? Doctor Who? Who's on first? No, but you know what? This is a big deal for Eric, and I quite frankly am not that fussed on Doctor Who either, but I'm excited for Eric.
Thank you, darling. And it has to be said, there are a lot of Doctor Who fans down there in Australia.
There are loads of them. I didn't realise until I started talking about this on Facebook, and everybody came out of the woodwork and said, you what? Oh, my God, that's so exciting. And I'm like, I know. And then birds started tweeting in my head. But it really was very exciting. And all over the United States of America, it's huge.
It's massive. Massive.
Why is it big in Australia?
Because it's Doctor Who.
Because for the first while that we got television, all we got was your programming. We didn't have any of our own.
I see. So it's bigger than Neighbours in Australia, is it?
Don't be Don't be ridiculous. that's ludicrous. It's not, if Doctor Who's not even
excuse me, is she allowed to
give a name?
I think so.
UK.
All right then. Yes. Monica, who listens to this program, who's Slovak, will love that you're using the word ridiculous, Rachel.
Yeah.
Really?
To me.
Yes, because it was one of those words when she was learning English that was very difficult for her. And I said, yes, but when I was a kid, we got it all wrong as well. So we used to say ridiculous.
Why did you say that? That's ridiculous.
We used to say ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What we used to say was ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
or ridiculous. Ridiculous. Anyway, on this 50th anniversary special, we are going to hear from the writer of the 50th anniversary special coming up later in the month, that's Stephen Moffat. We will also speak to two doctors. Matt Smith, David Tennant, and for some of my colleagues in an IT department in the UK, sorry, Jenna Coleman was just too busy to say hello to you because she was talking to me. And, of course, we've also got Joanna Page. And I haven't calmed down a bit yet. But we'll do have a...
Excuse me.
What?
Those were doctors. They're women.
Yes.
A doctor who's not a woman. Big girl, right? But not a woman.
Them's fighting words, Benson.
They are, mate. Just everybody, every sci-fi... Peter in Norwich at the Sci-Fi Club, calm down, dear.
All I'm doing, ladies and gentlemen, is defending Doctor Who as he's trying to reassign his gender.
I'm not.
No,
he's a sister.
I know these are sidekicks.
Doctor
yes.
Who
had
Tennant,
sidekicks.
David Tennant was Doctor Who. I used to drink Tennants.
That came out very badly. I think we'll move on.
Really badly, didn't
great it? News, great news, great news. A few weeks ago, we had Mandy on the programme from Hemel Hempstead launching a campaign to try and save their ice skating rink. And you'll never believe this, boys and girls. The company that's the sort of, I don't know, what construction company, development company, whatever else, have been in talks with the people who are running the ice rink now. And the Decorum, we haven't got any of that, Decorum Borough Council leader, which is Andrew Williams. Mm-hmm. And since then, a spokesperson has said there can be no guarantees because he's chicken and doesn't want to get sued. But they are exploring whether the ice rink can be a suitable part of the development moving forward.
Absolutely. Get your skates on and get to an answer.
Absolutely. Stop slip sliding away. However, it is hoped we can reach an agreement which will secure the future of the ice rink. In the short term, the rink will remain open and we will make a further statement on long-term plans as soon as we can. I think that's PR puff for we've just backed down.
I think that's PR puff for... Actually, we don't know what we're doing.
Yes.
But it's moving in the right direction, isn't it? It's moving in the right direction for what we began a fight for, a month ago, is it?
Yes.
Or longer. Month ago.
And we also thank Mike Penning, the MP, who I know listened to the programme, and gave them their support as well. So well done to Mike.
Yeah.
I think that's a good
that's
woo-hoo,
a good
thing.
Woohoo, Michael!
Stop. What have you been drinking this morning?
I've not been drinking anything this morning. Certainly not Tennant's.
Anyway. I hate...
Oh, it's just being polite. Yoo-hoo!
Right. I hate this story.
Well, don't start on this because I tell you what we
I hate
out.
This story with a
we
passion.
We will fall out.
I hate this story with a passion.
I am falling out with you already then.
Will the Beatles crawl all over Elvis
to
the
stupid.
Top of the album charts?
Oh,
or will
no.
sanity prevail and the digital downloads will spoil their party? What are we going on about? Well, apparently the Beatles, live on air at the BBC, Volume 2, which has 63 tracks on 37 previously unreleased live performances and 23 unreleased recordings, is coming out next week. At the same time, why am I not surprised? Elvis has got a new compilation out as well.
Hey!
He died. How is that possible?
Oh, no.
Elvis is dead, but he's still the king. Long live the king. The Beatles are more or less dead. There's not many of them left, is there? And the one that is left looks like a tortoise. who can barely get out of a cabbage patch.
50% more than Elvis is alive.
Lee, did I ever tell you the story about a complaint that I had to the radio authority?
Oh, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. All phone in now and say, no, Eric, we've never heard this story before. All 10 million of us phone in and say, no, Eric, we've never told this story before. He tells it every week, doesn't he, ladies and gentlemen? It's the only thing he's ever done, the only record he's ever broke.
Is it?
Sorry, carry on.
I was in a record-breaking team for a Guinness World Record a couple of years ago. I'll have you
right. So was I. Okay.
Yes. Can we get to the point, please?
The point is he's going to tell the same story over again.
No, the point is there are two record labels making vast sums of money out of some old music from donkeys years ago. But there could be a twist to all of this.
There could be
a huge twist because now it's not CD sales that's controlling the album charts. It's download sales.
Yes.
So if the young people...
And views on Vivo and all that stuff.
Yes. So if the young people all gang up, like we did when we were young, it's just that the old ones have now got old and forgotten how to be young. If all the young ones get together, they can block Presley getting to number one, which would be stunning.
Would be stunning.
It would be.
Why would it be stunning?
It would just be brilliant.
Somebody would be stunned somewhere.
It's all it is regurgitation of a greatest hits.
Well,
album.
But Royal Bobness has put out a greatest hits album. I don't think he put it out. I think his record company put it out for the Christmas.
What did I just say? Two record labels making money. Did I mention?
Absolutely, but that's what they're there to do. They've not been invented to not make money, or they wouldn't be around. I have something to say, ladies and gentlemen. I want to make something very clear. Mm. When I said I hate Doctor Who, ladies and gentlemen, I apologise. I was doing it for childish dramatic effects. I think Doctor Who is really good. The simple fact is, though, that now we have the Beatles and Elvis. And if we were in a situation where we could have a fight between the Beatles and Elvis, who'd win?
Beatles.
Elvis.
Beatles.
Not only because there's four of them, because there's a gang of them. If they were took on... Anyway, there's only two of them.
Hang on. You have got the pretend military man.
Who's that?
The pretend Colonel Tom Parker, who wasn't a colonel.
He was the one... He went into chicken licking, didn't he?
He wasn't a colonel.
He was a diamond.
Anyway,
yes.
If you go out and buy... Well, actually, I've got an idea. What you should do is go to a garage or service station, call it what you will. You'll find a box there, or an old bin, with cheap CDs in. Yeah. Pretty much everywhere you go, you will find an Elvis compilation CD in there for like $1. Yeah. So please don't download one for $10.
No, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, he's misrepresenting the case again. The simple fact is, a lot of Elvis stuff was actually put out on very, very cheap labels. Very cheap labels, you know, records that were like half an inch thick and things like that, because they were cheap recordings. And what's actually happened, these companies, such as Calidor and things like that, actually retained their element of copyright to those recordings. Not to the Elvis's actual performance, but to those compilations. Mm-hmm. And so they now are using those to make money. But I have to say, when I've apologised to Doctor Who, I want to say that I am known for saying that the Beatles are just a psychedelic ABBA, and I will never apologise for saying that the Beatles were the worst thing ever perpetrated on this earth after Agadoo.
Well, all I can say to you, so, is they wrote a song about you.
Did they?
Yeah, The Fool on the Hill.
I'm not on a hill. I'm not on a hill.
The real burning question, though, the burning question is if Elvis and the Beatles were drowning, which pub would you go to?
If Elvis and what were doing what? You've got to talk English.
English or Australian English?
Australian English.
Do it in English. Go on, do an English accent. You're supposed to be an actress.
If the Beatles and Elvis were drowning, which pub would you be going to?
So you could watch them drowning, or...
So you didn't care, so you just went to the pub.
He wasn't catching on, was he, Rach?
He really wasn't. That was just, you know what you've done, now you have to apologise to Doctor Who and to me for killing my joke.
Yeah.
But the thing is...
Lee,
excuse me, I'm apologising.
Hang on. That was modern satire.
Is that her new name? Is she not known as that hot pants brush? She's now known as modern satire.
Let's move on. We've been almost a meal a day.
That's a disgrace.
That is a disgrace.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that for the different areas around the world where they haven't got any food and all the rest of it, but how dare people complain about the cost of living when an average family is wasting something like £700 worth of edible food every year. Mm-hmm. You do not have the right to complain if you're chucking it all out.
No. Nope.
I think, yeah, I know. Can I tell you something that we found out yesterday, which is perfectly true? Yeah. I won't name the store, although there's no reason not to name them. But we were in a supermarket where we go every day, and it has a little cafe because we're very old and little doddery old people now. Mm. What we do is go to get a coffee, and the coffee's free. They give the coffee to people now for free. So we go in to get our free coffee and sit there in this awful restaurant, but it's supposed to be nice. And as you tend to do, you talk to the waitresses, don't you? Because they're little young people, and as old people, you need contact with young people, so you talk to the waitresses. And the waitress said to us, for some reason, yeah, you don't touch, you just talk. I'm not...
Rach, he can't lift his hands that high, don't worry.
I was going to say. Please go on.
I'm treating that remark with the contempt it deserves. Yeah. So anyway, right, so I'm talking to this waitress, and they have this wonderful array of cakes outside where you get your free coffee from. And do you know, she told us, that they fill this particular supermarket, and they're no different than others, fill two bins with leftover cakes every single evening. And yeah, there's the equivalent to an orphanage down the road. There's an old folks home down the road. There's a hospital, another old folks, I mean, actually. And there's all sorts. We're surrounded by people who, just through a little bit of generosity, could actually benefit from the amount of food they throw away each night. It is despicable.
Do they have a stupid rule where you guys are, where the restaurants aren't allowed to donate food for health reasons to those sort of places? Did they have one of those stupid rules?
Quite feasibly. I didn't check it that far, Rachel.
Don't know, Rachel.
No.
Because I'd be fascinated to know about this, because in Australia there are certain places where they can't do it. There's a chain of bakeries that Australians go to, you know, there's a couple of them. But at the end of the night, my mum used to go and pick up all the bread and take it back to the community centre that she worked for.
Yeah,
and
that's what I'm talking about.
That wasn't a rule breaker. That was okay to do. And there were other restaurants that couldn't do this and couldn't do that, and there were all these restrictions on stuff through via the health department, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought to myself, this is crazy, because like across the road from where they're throwing out this food is, you know, an old folks home or some sort of community centre or blah, blah, blah. Within stone's throw of this establishment, they need to check out whether or not they can do it. And do you guys have a food bank in the UK?
Yeah, we do now. Yeah, we are that poor.
Food bank's brilliant, and it's doing wonderful things here. Food bank's brilliant. It's the best idea. And when we had flood troubles here, Rachel, and I'm thinking they're probably using it last year.
Do you actually go to the food bank?
No, I do all my deposits at home. I also bank online. But when we were having flood trouble and fire trouble and whatnot with all the natural disasters, food bank were brilliant. Here, it's a great organisation to get behind. But yeah, if you want to check out your local health department rules about that, because I'd be interested to know.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things I'd like, one of the myths I now want to break, boys and girls, based on quite a lot of experience in this area because my late father ran a village general stores and post office and newspapery things, and you know, it was like a miniature version of a London superstore, the amount of stuff we sold. And this is the myth. We've been talking about the sell-by date. Who's making a cup of tea?
I wasn't. I was brushing my hearth.
Yeah, well, stop it.
I've got to do my jobs while we're on the air. Just we're on the air doesn't mean I don't have to do the washing up and cleaning.
He's fashioning the instruments for his country and Western Bend.
Oh, right, okay. Anyway, the myth that we have is that food in shops is sold by sell-by date. It is not.
No.
It is not. It's a best-before date.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Now, the other crazy thing is that you may have seen years ago on the television, somebody bought some tins of food from, like, World War One, and they actually opened them, and everyone's going, oh, no, you can't do that. You can, as long as the can doesn't come upwards at the top, as long as it's down rather than up, it's not what they call a blown can, so there's nothing wrong with it. It won't. It can be rusty as hell on the outside.
Could be.
And the fact is, if you clean it up, there is nothing wrong with it as long as the can's not blown, as they call it.
The inside hasn't been compromised.
You're talking over each other again.
That's because I'm rude.
That's because she started.
That's because I started speaking.
Go on, Rach.
No, if the inside hasn't been compromised, it's like with those jars that you get that have the pop. Yeah. When you open a jar and it pops. Mm. With the cans, it's the same dealio. If it hasn't been compromised, there's nothing wrong with it. It's designed to live in a can, for goodness sakes. There's nothing wrong with it.
Now, I know I'm going to get abuse for this. I know I am. From both of you.
Okay.
But as a wee lad, because my dad wasn't into throwing stuff away.
Excuse me, Rachel.
What?
Yes.
Who is going to abuse him first, you or me?
Well, you are more hot-headed than me, so I'll let you go first, and I'll pick
up
the end.
I'll go first, right. That's it. All right. Okay, that's fine. Carry on, Eric.
Thank you. Basically, I was bought up on food that wasn't able to be sold in the shop because people went, oh, it's sell-by date out. It never did me any harm, did it?
Well, that's questionable.
Excuse me, you said I was going to abuse it first.
Well, I wanted to sneak in a quick jab. Now you go for it.
Go on, Ed. Okay, you jab him.
That's nuts.
It's done you no harm at all, Eric. You're a fine figure of a man.
That's true. It's just your figure that's the problem.
It's
like a big knot.
I feel satire there.
You're more like an eight.
I want to say something very quickly about this subject. I've been abused.
Go on.
Right. I once had a chicken, right, and it was at the end of its sell-by date. This really was the sell-by date. Yeah. The sell-by date was the day that I bought it, and so I brought my frozen chicken home, and I put it in my freezer, and I left it there. Well, I actually found it. I'd forgotten it was there, and 2 years and 4 months later, I went in the freezer, got my chicken out, thought, I think I might have that. And do you know, after 2.5 years, that chicken was as rotten as hell.
Yeah.
Did it have freezer burn?
It got everything. I think it had been fighting to get out for ages. I think it just died of starvation.
I think it got freezer burn. You're quite right, Rach. Anyway, great stuff on the television this week. Ho flipping, ho not. Britain's spy chiefs were grilled on TV. Yeah, what'd they do? Turn them over in the middle?
That's what I was going to say. You keep them in your freezer after you've grilled them, you know.
Stick a fork in them, they're done.
I understand why.
Keep your eye on them, though.
I understand why certain people were like going, oh, goody, goody, goody. We can have all the James Bonds on the television. We're going to quiz them. And yet, the reality is, they are trained. They're not going to tell you anything on the television.
No.
So all it did was cost you guys in the UK a small fortune televising something that was going nowhere.
And why would
did
you show the
Go on, Lee.
No, all I'm saying is, why would you have Britain's three main spy masters on the telly? So now we all know who they are.
Well, we knew that anyway. But they're not going to tell you the big secrets, are they?
There's one interesting point to this, quite a serious point. Mm. And at the moment, as the press is being vilified and by increments is being cleared of any charges and also by association being cleared, the Guardian, who originally blew this story open, have been vilified again for actually bringing Britain to its knees as far as terrorism is concerned. And the simple facts are that the Guardian quite deliberately only printed 0.7% of the information that was given to them by Snowden. And what they've done is held back more than 99% of this information to protect the country. They say that the reason they published what they did is because the story needed telling, and that if it had gone to WikiLeaks or somebody like that, it would have been splashed across the internet and the world, every cough and spit. Well done, The Guardian.
I tell you what, I'll give The Guardian a round of applause for that. Well done, Guardian.
I agree with you.
Good stuff. And I'll tell you the other thing.
I want to know something about this, because I didn't see any of this, of course.
Right.
If the only way I can sort of understand what it's, I'm getting a picture in my head of what it might have looked like, but the only way it would have been mildly interesting is if, was the guy asking all the questions stroking a big white cat or something?
Well, probably, yeah.
I reckon it should have come in through, on wires through the windows.
But
exactly. Like, I mean, if that would be, it'd be interesting to watch if they'd done something a little bit theatrical. Otherwise, what is the point?
Nothing. We are just a couple of minutes away, boys and girls, from Doctor Who's on Postcard from Pop Rad. But I'm going to make a serious point before we go at the end of part one. The problem with all this is you can publish the names of the spies if you want, but don't be blamed if you then get arrested with murder warrants, because the lunatics in the world, the lunatics, not the sensible people, that was my coffee arriving in the squeaky door, thanks Petra, the loony people will just go out and shoot people because they're nuts and barking mad. So if you want to sign a death warrant of somebody doing something that could potentially be saving your children's life, by all means, publish it. If that's what you want.
Who are you accusing of publishing it, though? Do you mean if somebody publishes it on the internet or somebody publishes it?
Anywhere. You cannot put the names of these guys in the public domain.
Oh, you mean that you're talking about the general hoi polloi of the spying fraternity?
Correct.
Yeah.
No, you can't. You're quite right. And that's exactly what the newspapers did. They showed dignity and style, whereas the rest of the people would have just splashed it everywhere.
Exactly. Well, that's about the end of part one, boys and girls. We'll be taking a look at driverless taxis after we hear from Doctor Who. And also, we might have time to squeeze the Dublin police airing an appeal about an Australian girl. That was so bizarre. It's unbelievable.
Very strange.
Very, very strange indeed. Stay tuned, boys and girls. We have got two doctors coming up. We have got two assistants coming up. We've got the writer of the 50th edition of Doctor Who. Rocks. Doctor Who. Hey! The TARDIS. Doctor Who. Hey! Oh, sorry. We'll see you in a minute.
From the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I-S.